In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the letter to the Ephesians, as we did yesterday. But before that, I want to remind you that on Tuesday is voting day, and that we need to vote, and we need to vote for, you know, maybe you don't like either candidate, but for the lesser of two evils. You know, we need to vote for the lesser of two evils. I know that this is so important. This is the most important election since I have been a voter. It's the most important election since I have been a voter. That means when we're voting also for senators, to vote for the senator of the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils. We don't have people that are running specifically as Christian candidates. You know, we might not like some of the stuff that they have, but it's very important that we vote, and we vote for the lesser of two evils. And when it comes to question two, physician-assisted suicide, no on question two, and no on question three about marijuana. You know, these things are very important. Little by little, the spirit of the world is taking over, and the only one that could stop the decay is God's church, the salt of the earth, to stop the decay. It's very, very important that we vote on election day next Tuesday. I'm reading from Ephesians 1, and I'm starting with verse 12. "So that we might exist for the praise of his glory." That's why we exist. "For the praise of his glory," yes, that he is worthy of praise, that his glory, his kabod, Yahweh, is our life. We who first hoped in Christ. You know, he's talking to the Ephesians that first hoped in Christ before it was popular. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not popular to be a Christian. It is not popular to live for Jesus Christ. It is not popular to be a person that has witnessed Jesus Christ. We heard just today Ted Kennedy's wife, Vicky, she said, you know, she's got faith, but she's not comfortable in sharing that faith. Well, you know what? We need to be comfortable in sharing the faith. We need to be comfortable in speaking about Jesus. We need to be comfortable because he's the Lord. You know, you're comfortable about sharing about a good restaurant. Why not Jesus? He's the best. There's nothing better than Jesus. And even if you're not comfortable in doing it, you do it anyway. You do it anyway. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. I remember Eleanor when she said that she prayed outside the abortion mill. She says, "But I'll never do it again." Yep, I just smiled. I said, "This is the beginning. This is the beginning of something that God's doing." You see, now she prays with the people outside the abortion mill. There were two saves yesterday. Two saves. We need to continue to pray because our Christian brothers and sisters, our Catholic Christian brothers and sisters, are out there every Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're out there on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and Saturdays, too. But especially Tuesday and Wednesday, we pray for these people because there were 10 of them yesterday. 10, imagine, 10 people witnessing to the love of Jesus Christ outside an abortion mill. And because they were there, two children and two women are going to be spared of grief. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But you see, it's hard to be counted. It's hard to stand up and be counted because, you know, it's not easy to stand out of it, outside the abortion mill. It's not easy because, you know, people think you're crazy. And not only that, it gets very cold during the winter. Or it might be pouring rain upon people. And then, you know, standing out there is not very popular. People come by and they swear at you, and they do bad things, but also there are people that do good things too. But I'm just saying it's very important that we witness to our faith, because we have been called to the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him. Yes, we have heard the word of truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, came from heaven, and he died upon a cross, hallelujah, and he shed his blood for us, yes, and he died and was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. I heard Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and he was talking about the calming of the seas. He said, well, the person that could calm the seas is dead. And I'm thinking, oh, mamma mia, he's not dead, he's alive. Then he kind of went back and said, well, at least he's not on earth, but he is on earth. Jesus Christ is on earth. Oh, we do not see him, but he is on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is on earth in the believer, in you, in me, in the Eucharist, in the Word of God, in the priest, in the prophet, in God's people. Jesus Christ is on earth, not that we can see him face to face, but he is on earth in mystery. And when I talk about mystery, I don't mean that we can't understand it. I talk about that we can taste it, taste and see that the Lord is good, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, you have believed the gospel, the truth of your salvation, and you have believed in Jesus, and you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We see Jesus in his baptism being sealed with the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance toward the redemption as God's possession. Down payment. The Holy Ghost is the down payment to our complete salvation. The Holy Spirit that we have been sealed with is the down payment of our complete salvation, that the Spirit of God dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you understand that? I'm just telling you it's true. You might feel like a penny waiting for change today, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that you have received the gospel, and you are not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before the angels and before the Heavenly Father. It's very important that we not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And even if we feel being ashamed, we speak out anyway. Even if we feel being ashamed, we speak out anyway. I've told you the story about a beautiful nurse, Mrs. Betty Foley. She woke up one Good Friday morning and said, I don't want to be like Peter, who denied you. I want to profess you. I want to profess you as my Lord. And she went to Boston that day, and it was Good Friday, and there's this man that stood up in the train and started proclaiming Jesus Christ. And everybody's, you know, looking at their newspaper. They're all ashamed. They're all ashamed. And Betty stood up and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he asked, who believes in Jesus Christ? And she stood up and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. This is a woman that was very lovely, you know, very to the day, and a beautiful woman, never acquainted with that kind of a witness. But she asked the Lord that she wouldn't be like Peter that day, and she was given the opportunity to witness to Jesus Christ. And the door opened, and she left, and she just said, I was amazed. I was amazed that the Lord gave me the grace to witness to him. So we have received the first installment of our redemption as God's possession. Do you know that you are the possession of God? The only inheritance God has is his people. You are the inheritance of God. You are the possession of God. You are the son of God. You are the daughter of God. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. But when it does come to light, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So we have received the first payment of the installment. You know, when you go to buy gifts, you say a layaway, you give them a check for the beginning of the complete payment. We are not completely in the presence of God. We are there by mystery, But one day we shall see him face to face by the grace of God, and we shall become like him. But he is alive, and he is alive in his people. Today the church celebrates All Saints Day. He is alive in the people around the throne today who are crying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He is alive not only in the people that are around the throne today, but he is alive in us, and we can join with them saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Hallelujah. We can join with the saints in heaven because it's one body. You know, people get upset about saints, but let me just tell you this. There is only one head of the church. His name is Jesus. Okay? One head. His body happens to be in three places: in heaven, on earth, and we believe in purgatory. I'm not getting into purgatory today. I just want to tell you that he has one body, and if you only believe in heaven and on earth, that's okay. That's okay for today, because he is present in that body on earth and in heaven, and we are being drawn to him. We are being drawn to the heavenly Jesus Christ. We are being drawn to the Jesus that was ascended into heaven and who sits at the Father's right hand. And you have received the first payment of your total redemption, of your total salvation. You have received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? That the Spirit of God dwells in us. That the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Therefore, I too, hearing of your faith, he's telling the Ephesians, he heard of their real faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the holy ones, for all his people, especially the people in Jerusalem. So Paul heard of the faith of the Ephesians, and he heard that they not only loved God and loved Jesus and were sealed with the Holy Spirit, but they also cared about the people. You know, if you love God and you don't care for people, I'm going to tell you, you don't love God. Because how can you love someone whom you don't see when you don't love someone whom you can see? You know, Christianity and the whole Western civilization brought about all the good things that we have today that are being stolen away from us. Christianity gave us the hospital system. That's right. There were the sisters who cared for the sick people, the brothers who cared for the sick people. It started off as a seed, but the church realized that she needed to care for the sick. Then the education also came from the church. You know, Western civilization is all about Jesus Christ and all about faith, faith in Jesus Christ that caused people not only to love God, but to love the holy ones and to love the world, not the world system, but the earth. And this is real. This is real. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the holy ones. I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul continues to thank God for the Ephesian community who loves Jesus and who loves people. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's pray it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, Lord, give your people the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation means to take the veil off. Oh, Lord, give your people the gift of wisdom and revelation, resulting in the knowledge of him, not head knowledge, but knowledge of the heart. That you, Lord, give your people a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in the experiential knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, my Lord. I'm going to read it again. That the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened that you may know, not with your head, but with your whole being, what are the riches, what is the hope that belongs to his call? What is the hope that belongs to his call? That we shall see him face to face, that we shall be with him, that we shall enjoy him for all eternity. That is our hope, and we have already tasted it through faith. We have already received the first fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as the down payment of that hope. Now, I'm not talking about hope that people sit in the rocking chair and hope they're going to win the mega bucks. I'm not talking about that hope. I'm talking about a hope that we've already begun to experience through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be much more wonderful than we ever imagined, but it's not going to be a different Jesus that we taste on earth. The intensity will be raised to the nth degree, but it's still that Jesus that we experience on earth by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the same Jesus, the same God that we've tasted. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know with your whole being what is the hope that belongs to his call. He has called you. You say, but I'm old. He has called you, and he has called you and given you a job. He has called you to himself, and he gives everyone a job. You know, your job might be that just you're praying for me. You're praying for the sick. Your job might be proclaiming the gospel on the airwaves. Your job might be going to the abortion mill. Your job might be teaching children about Christ on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. Your job might be a mother who raises children to be Christian children who love the Lord above all things, or a father who is the head of the family, who's not ashamed to pray with his kids. I'm telling you, we all have a job. We all have a job, that your hearts might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? Riches of his glory in the inheritance among the holy ones, among those who believe in Jesus and have been baptized. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe? Yes, the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead. Yes, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you and dwells in me. That's real. That's real. The surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. It is that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelling in you, and now is seated at the right hand in heaven, far above every principality, far above every authority, far above every power, far above every dominion, and far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He has placed all these things under the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus is far above the demonic, far above the principalities and powers, far above all dominions, all the angels. And he has put these things beneath his feet and gave him as head over all the church. Jesus is head of the church, and the church happens to be in three places. The church in heaven, the church on earth, and the church in purgatory. I'm telling you, he is head of the church, and I'm going to tell you, he is not only the head of the church, but he loves his church. He loves his body. He loves you. You are part of the body of Christ, and he loves you. He is in love with you, and he wants you to know today that you have been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him, to know him, to know him. We have been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Jesus Christ, and to know him personally. Yes, and we have received the first installment of our salvation. That is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. It is the same power, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in you and dwells in me. Oh, you've got to get that today. That you who feel like you're nothing, you who feel like you're just a penny waiting for change, I'm telling you, if you believe in Jesus, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is real. Look in the mirror and say, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. I might be weak. I might not have much power on earth, but I have received that power in heaven, that power that comes down from heaven. Jesus Christ, who gave us, who sits at the right hand of the Father, pours out his Holy Spirit upon us. Yes, this Holy Spirit upon us. And if Jesus Christ is far above every principality, every authority, every power, and every dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come, I'm telling you, then we are above those things too, because Jesus Christ dwells in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the first installment of our salvation. This is so real. This is so real. And you know what? Most people have no idea how real it is. Most people have no idea how real it is. I received a call just 2 days ago, and it was from a mother, and the mother said to me, I came to the church with my daughter who has cancer, and she said, you really cared for her, and you really prayed for her. She said, we're very grateful, and I knew she called because she wanted more prayer, of course. And I said, well, what's been happening? She said, well, my daughter's going to have tests. I said, well, let's pray now. So we prayed. You know, what is it just to pray with people? What is it? You know, it means everything to her. Then she said, remember her in your Mass tonight. And I did. Remember her in your Mass tonight. And I did. I'm just telling you, these little things that we do mean so much to people. But you see, if you just keep it to yourself, nothing happens. If you keep it to yourself, we are to witness the love of God on the earth. We are to witness to Jesus Christ, not fanatically, but as part of our vocabulary. When I was a teacher, I used to witness about the kids and what they did and what they said and how they said. I remember once Susan Freeman, she gave me the whole doctrine of the communion of saints. I wish I had written it down. It was so clear what she said about the communion of saints in heaven. I'll never forget it. And, you know, I'll never forget that I was stunned that this 11-year-old child knew what she knew and wasn't afraid to share it. This is real. This is real. When someone is real to you, you want to share it with people. You want people to know it. That today, I'm telling you that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and dwells in me, and that he's given you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I pray that the anointing of your spirit may be upon your people. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, give that spirit of wisdom and revelation to all who hear me. Father, give that spirit of wisdom and revelation to all who hear me, and pour out upon us mightily the first installment of the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You fathers know how to give good things to your children. If they ask you for a piece of bread, you don't give them a stone. If they ask you for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those of us? Oh, Father, we pray that you'd continue to pour out upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our final salvation. I ask you to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit in the in the gift of wisdom and revelation, resulting in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing Him, not only knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally, knowing His love, knowing His mercy, knowing His forgiveness, because we have believed the gospel that Christ has died for us, that Christ shed His blood for me and you, that Christ died on the cross for me and you, that Christ was buried for me and you, and that, hallelujah, He's not in the grave. He's not in the grave. Even, I like Rush Limbaugh, but I want to just tell you, someone's got to tell him he's not in the grave. He's alive. He's not on the cross. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's Jesus, and He works through His Holy Spirit in His people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to pour out Your Spirit upon Your people today, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I thank You for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. And don't forget about the Days of Glory between the 8th and 11th of November. Days of Glory. And you can find it on the computer, daysofglory.org. Daysofglory.org. And may the Lord pour out His Spirit upon you so you may know the love of God and may communicate it to others. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.